5 p.m., so we're going to get started. Healthy meetings start and end on time. My name is Kara. I am a compulsive overeater, recovering bulimic and sugar addict.
Hi,
Kara. The title, hi everyone. The title of this one-hour writing workshop is 12-Stepping a Problem. As I said, my name is Kara. I am a compulsive overeater, recovering bulimic and sugar addict. I have about 15 minutes to speak, and when I am done, everyone will write on the topic. I'm sure you all have problems, right? If you don't, I'll give you some of mine. And then you'll have 15 minutes to write on that topic. Rest of the hour, sharing what we wrote, up to 3 minutes each. The session is being recorded. Right. If you would all join me with the in the serenity prayer, please. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. I will not mind be done. I start each qualification with the serenity prayer to remind me that these are God's words and not mine. I am not here to entertain you. I am here to share my experience, strength, and hope with you. I don't ever remember having a normal relationship with food. Food was my anti-anxiety drug. It was my friend. It was my lover. I made it my higher power. And throughout my life, I was a chronic dieter. I binged. I purged. I've exercised past the point of exhaustion. I've repeatedly eaten past the point of fullness. I've tried starvation, surgery, and at my heaviest, I weighed just under 300 pounds. If you see me, you'll notice that I'm only 5'1". That's a lot of mass on a really small frame. My thinnest got me hospitalized. So I've been at the upper end, and I've been at the lower end of my weight. I run the spectrum of this eating disorder. But regardless of what I weighed, I was malnourished, and I was spiritually bankrupt, and I was starving for something that takeout just cannot provide. What I wanted could not be found in a box, a bag, a bottle, a batch, a bin, or a bucket. You see, I don't just have an eating disorder, I have a living disorder. And when emotions get in the way, whether it was celebration or sorrow, love or loss, I turn to food. After attending a Region 6 convention in 2008, I finally admitted my powerlessness over the disease of compulsive eating, and I found hope in the halls of OA. I got abstinent on October 27th, 2008. On Sunday, God willing, I will celebrate 16 years of back-to-back abstinence. That applause is for my higher power, by the way, and for all of you. So 16 years of recovery one day at a time, which is truly miraculous. Even as I stand here and say it out loud, I want to pinch myself because I couldn't string together 16 hours. Days was like, 2 weeks was my max, and then I would be off and running again. So for me to stand here, it's an honor and a privilege. But I would be lying to you if I said that all of this recovery was a piece of cake. The pun was intended. I have had my fair share of challenges in this program, as I'm sure you have as well. My life is far from perfect. I have had a lot of losses and disappointments in recovery, but they were never an excuse to overeat, restrict, or purge. I don't use food to cope with life today. Today, I understand that my actions have consequences. I've experienced job losses, health issues, the end of a 28-year marriage, trauma, and the death of family and friends, as well as the customary inconveniences and disappointments that, you know, pop up sometimes hour to hour, day to day, time after time after time. None of these life experiences were repaired or restored or reversed because I remained abstinent. But because I remained abstinent, I was able to change my reaction to these events. I was able to show up and respond appropriately with tears and grieving and with the support of this OA fellowship. I ask you, what do you do when faced with a problem? I mentioned earlier, this is a writing workshop and you'll have an opportunity to write for 15 minutes. OA has a really helpful worksheet called 12-Stepping a Problem that you can use to assist you. You can find it on oa.org. It has questions, 12 questions meant to serve as writing prompts. I thought I would share, since you can get that readily, and maybe some of you have used it already, I wanted to share or offer an alternative process. Whenever difficulties arose or a negative situation affected me badly, my father used to say, "Kara, you just gotta roll with the punches." Prior to recovery, I didn't know how to accept life on life's terms. Several years ago, I stumbled on a 12-sided dice. I realized with a friend that there might be a new way of harnessing my dad's favorite idiom. So this is called a dodecahedron for the nerds out there that, you know, need a new word for today. So this 12-sided dice I keep in my pocket, and whenever some circumstance comes up that has me anxious or inconvenienced or disturbed, I roll it. And I look for a solution depending on the number that comes up. So each step has a principle associated with it. I use the dice to guide me toward a focus word. For example, if I wake up and I'm having one of those fat and ugly days where I'm obsessed with my body, I'm sure nobody here has those, but trust me, they happen from time to time. What I do is I correlate the number with the responding principle. So this meant that if I rolled the dice and a 12 came up, as I said, I correlate the number with its corresponding principle. So the corresponding principle for step 12 is, does anyone know? Service! Yes. So this meant the best way for me to overcome my obsession would be through acts of service. And this was just a quick and effective way for me to take action and remain abstinent. The exercise is and was and has been especially helpful when I write about it and answer how I'd execute it. And then I would share it with my sponsor or another trusted OA member. So that's what we're going to do today, because life can be challenging. And you know, here we are on Friday evening. Some of us may have faced traffic. Some of us may have come home, you know, come from work here. And I want us just to release anything that keeps us from being present here today. So whatever problem you have, I know there is a solution. By working the steps, I've learned that I don't have to turn to an excess of food or engage in compulsive food behavior to cope. If you're interested in approaching your troubles by using this unique method, I have a 12-sided dice for each of you. What I'd like you to do, I'm going to pass this basket around and you can take one out. You can write out your problem on your paper or in your journal and just you know, take a moment. Go to your higher power. What's on your heart tonight? Is there something especially troubling you? Is it something about work or home, or maybe it's your abstinence, your program? Maybe it's higher power itself. Write out your problem succinctly, and then roll the dice. Look at the back of the card and pick the principle that corresponds to the number on your dice. And then apply that principle creatively to your problem. Write about it. My prayer for all of us is not that life gets easier, because I can pretty much guarantee that it won't, but that we have the serenity and the peace and the recovery in us to roll with the punches, whatever comes along, that we can just roll with it a day at a time. Thank everyone for coming to this workshop tonight, for being present, and I wish you the utmost peace and serenity. I'm going to pass this basket around, and I also have an album so you can actually see how heavy I truly was and then how emaciated I really was, and now how healthy I am, just mind, body, and spirit. So thank you again so, so much. Okay. The principal, so you'll see there's a little note from me on one side of the little card inside the bag, and then you'll see the principals are listed on the reverse. And once everyone has their dice and their little card, I'll start the timer for 15 minutes and then we can write. And I plan on writing as well. I am going to set a timer. I'll look at my watch and you'll be able to write until 5:30, and then we'll have everybody come up and share. Okay? Five minutes left. Minute left, so you might want to wrap it up. Everyone, welcome back. Why don't we just say the Serenity Prayer again? God grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and wisdom to know the difference. This workshop does end at 6 p.m., and if you'd like to share, I ask that you make a line in front of the room on this side, my left, and then when you're sharing, please edit what you wrote to fit the 3-minute time limit. Diane's going to time. Timer will signal you when you have 1 minute left. And the session is being recorded, as you know. Your sharing demonstrates your consent to be recorded. If you wish to remain anonymous, please use a fictitious name or choose not to share. But I ask that you line up here and then exit going that way. That way we can have everybody flow, and then there won't be huge pauses in between people. It's also, when you say your name, also say where you're from, how long you've been in OA, but please reserve the bulk of your share to your OA experience on our topic, which is 12-stepping a problem. The meeting is now open for sharing.
I'm Diana, compulsive overeater and food addict.
Hi,
Diana. I'm from Manchester, New Hampshire, and I came in these rooms October 29th of 1982. Today, though, I thank you for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. And what came to my mind right away, I had the number 7 with the dice, and it said, fear of traveling back to my friend's house I'm staying at this weekend in the dark. Step 7, humility. Admit I am a little fearful, surrender my short travel time to my higher power, and enjoy this moment abstinently. And then the other thing, I didn't think I was going to have anything else, but then it was, I thought the first workshop was where I wanted to be, but the chlorine was too strong. So I'm here at this writing workshop, and the chlorine smell is not as strong. I spoke to someone in the room and said I'm willing to see how long I can stay. God's will for me was to hear recovery from Kara and those who will be brave to share what they wrote. I like the tool of writing. And the number was step 6, and it was on willingness.
Hi, I'm Gary, grateful recovered compulsive overeater. I'm from New York, and I have 23 years on winter. And I just love this approach to the depth. So my question that I was dealing with was, how do I get the willingness to do a written nightly inventory honestly, thoroughly, and on a regular, consistent basis? It's something I've struggled with. And I rolled the dice, and I got 4, which was courage. So this is what I wrote. So I can dig deep to find my inner courage. But honestly, I've tried this, and it does not work consistently. Where can I find the courage to be willing to do a new behavior constantly, consistently, only with God's help? As an addict, my willpower works in the mundane world well, but it is barely workable in my recovery. I am powerless over food and people, places, and things, no matter how hard I push my willpower and my courage buttons. However, my God is the source of my strength and courage in all parts of my recovery. So I need to stop placing my reliance on self to solve this problem and turn it over to God. So I need to ask God with sincerity, hope, joy, and even tears to grant me the courage and strength to do a real recovered 11-step nighttime inventory that is filled with thoroughness, open-mindedness, willingness, and humility. That would be an amazing and esteemable act to do before I went to sleep. What a joy to look forward to accomplishing such a thing. How do I get there? I have to pray for the willingness to be more willing. I have to pray for God's courage and God's strength to do it daily, because mine is not sufficient. And then I will pray for the willingness to be transformed to do His will. This is a suggestion in the program, so I know it's God's will. And God's first message to me as I finished this step was a simple reminder. Gary, this does not have to be perfect.
I am Sonia S., and I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And the problem that I wrote about is, well, first, I've been sober for 18 years. I met my husband in the rooms of alcoholics. I have a wonderful marriage. He is loving, supportive, everything. And I have an attraction to a sub, and nothing has happened, but it's taken up space in my head, and I don't want it to take space up in my head. And so I rolled the dice. It was 12, actually, and I was thinking that staying close to the program, staying absent, mentoring, which I'm doing, going to meetings, making phone calls, and then asking God to move these thoughts, and also how can I be a light of God, like be, and I'm not even quite sure how to work this problem out other than to stay very close to God at all costs. And so, yeah, that's it. Thank you.
I'm John. I'm from Nashville, New Hampshire. I've been in the program for over 12 years. The thing I'm writing about is getting myself to do the 12 steps again. I've done them once before. It's been a while, so I'm sort of taking a long time for me to get back to doing them again. And when I rolled the dice, it said, number 6, being willing. So what I wrote was, I have to be willing to work the 12 steps. I can't force myself to do them. I mean, it only goes so far to do the work and then stop completing all 12 steps. After you be willing to do the work and complete all 12 steps, do whatever it takes to get the work done, I may stop and pause to think, but I must continue on. I must stick with it, even though I may be tempted to stop and leave it for later on. In the past, when I left something for later on, it ended up not getting done. Betty.
Everyone, my name's Rita, from Massachusetts.
Hi.
So I wasn't gonna speak, but I love it when my fellows are vulnerable. It just allows me to be vulnerable. And you know, I started writing, and what do you know? I've got 3 disturbances already, and I'm just getting here to this OA convention. And so I realize I'm feeling a little homesick. Just kind of, I get that way when I travel a little bit. I have some feelings about where I'll be sleeping tonight, and I realize that a part of me is out judging, and that's not who I want to be. So I rolled the dice, and I got 2, hope, and I heard an acronym once, hope, and it's help other people every day. And so that's something I can do. And I can change my actions. I can't always change my thinking, but I've had the experience where God can change me. And I do have that hope that He can. And I can practice honesty, and I can do 10 steps on my disturbances and learn from them and have hope that God can and will change me and remove my my defects of character. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Christina from New York. I just want to say thank you so much for this workshop. And I just think it's genius. I'm like, this is amazing. I'm a sugar addict, and I haven't had sugar in a little over 5.5 years. So when I was sitting here thinking about what's the problem. I have a lot of problems, but and life's not perfect. But I was thinking about my daughter, and I always feel like program is so hard when it comes to kids versus my stuff. So my daughter lives in another state and was diagnosed with something called idiopathic hypersomnia, which is a sleep disturbance that you can't get in REM sleep. And the treatment for it is amphetamines, and that's the only treatment right now. Anyway, and I'm a nurse, so I'm like, I don't want her on these meds, so I just have all my control stuff, and I want to help her. I want to do it. I want to fix it. I want to fix everything. Let me find you a good therapist that might be able to help with trauma stuff, that would help with the sleep, you know, all this stuff. So, and when the Serenity Prayer was said, I'm like, oh my God, that's like such a good reminder, because I can't control any of this stuff, and I need to stop. And I'm going to visit in about 2 weeks, so I'm like, I gotta not go there in this headspace. And when I think about it, I'm off balance, and I'm not in a place of serenity, which I don't like. So I rolled the dice, and it came up spiritual awakening. I'm like, that's interesting. So it brought up 2 things for me. It brought up that I have my own higher power, and I found a spiritual awakening through the program, and that I trust this higher power. And so that's why it's a problem for me, because in the past I wouldn't have cared. I would just barreled in and said, do this, do that. So now I do have a problem, because I want to behave like I learned in program. So if I'm not going to work through this, I'm going to show up in a way that I don't want to. And I know... I'm trying to read my handwriting here, but I want to show up the way my higher power shows up for me, with kindness, love, grace. And the second thing that came up for me is, guess what? My daughter has her own higher power. I don't have to run that show. And it's hard for me to watch the journey that she's on, and nothing that I can do is going to change any of that. The only thing that if I do show up and act crazy, which is my word for like when I'm out of control or feel off balance and I want to, you know, make her feel safe or better. It's going to ruin the relationship and, you know, fracture it. And I worked in program very hard on building relationship, because it wasn't great before. So I don't want to do that. I made amends, and that's part of my living amends, not to, you know, try to run a show for her. And health stuff is hard, you know, especially being a nurse. So I'm just reminded after, you know, seeing the spiritual awakening as the quote for me, just, you know what, let her higher power do the work, and just to trust that my higher power can comfort me, and we'll see what happens. So thank you.
I am Sandy, compulsive overeater, and I'm from Massachusetts.
Hey.
I wasn't sure I'd be able to do this, but I figure I have to. I have fear of large groups, and I'm always feeling alone in those groups. And when I rolled the dice, I got self-discipline. To share before this, what I wrote is I have an emotional support dog. She helps me so much to talk to people. She goes everywhere with me, and I didn't bring her to the conference. I'm missing her helping break the ice to talk to people. I rolled 8, self-discipline. I wrote to discipline myself to give people a chance to go up and say hi to one and just ask their name, how they are, who they are, where they're from. Don't be afraid to also tell them who you are. They will not criticize me for anything I say. Remember, I'm never alone. Higher power is always there. And others don't criticize higher power, so why would they criticize? I'm part of God, and He's part of me. I'm worth the time with other people.
I am Colleen. I'm a compulsive overeater from Long Island. I was a little bit nervous about coming up, but then I see the courage that other people show, and it inspires me, and I just want to start by saying thank you. Home with me, and I'll definitely implement my recovery. I wrote my daughter and the PCT, and I rolled a 9, which is love, and I instantaneously felt myself get emotional and tear up. The idea of my daughter hiking the PCT takes my breath away. It makes my legs feel rubbery. Terrified of her being alone and vulnerable on the trail. I don't want to lose her. I already lost her twin brother at birth. And then I wrote love. She doesn't need me to micromanage, judge, or plan her life. She needs my unconditional love, the loving support of her as a mother. How do I put this into action? I work on surrender, that it's not my decision. Faith in her choices and her plan, and on loving her. I'll pray daily to my higher power and angels to help guide me to love. The more I surrender, the more space I have for love. This will provide the solution I need, which is to be connected to my daughter. I'm grateful for this guidance.
I'm the compulsive overeater.
Hi,
and I really liked this writing exercise. I didn't realize, but I had quite a bit to say to myself, and it was basically about just being an anxious, worried that something was going to happen, and so therefore I would lose control. And when I rolled the dice, it came up to be honest. And I think that it comes down for me that food for me was just an indicator of just being a very anxious person who was always trying to be better than I was, and feeling I had all these expectations for myself, and my parents had expectations for me as well. And that today I really try to keep my life simple and to not try to control things, to accept things as they come. And to just do the footwork around them. And I always say to myself, surrender, accept. And I think the hardest thing for me is with my daughter. I have a special needs daughter, and for years I tried to control her and her education and everything. And she's 34 now, and she's just amazing. She's very independent. And makes decisions on her own, and God's grace is in there, although she does have some difficulties with she's some breathing problems that have to do with the way she swallows. And so periodically she has to go to the hospital, and I really, really don't like that. And so the honest thing is that I'm not in charge when we have to go to the hospital. The nurses are in charge. All I can do is explain how Kelly works, and that I'm not being punished, or she's not being punished. This is just something that happens, and it's part of the way the cerebral palsy affected her is just through her, the way she eats and the way her nature. I think it's really complicated, but bottom line is that I'm not in charge. I have a higher power who loves me unconditionally, and all I need to do is be honest about where I am, to not try to control the situation, but also not to try to make things too, too fractured and too complicated, and just to enjoy each day with peace and love and joy. And the simpler I keep things, the better. And to be here with everybody today is really such a gift. Thank you.
And I'm a food addict.
Hi.
I live on Martha's Vineyard, and I've been in recovery a long time in AA and a long time in OA also. The problem that I focus on is not being satisfied in my friendships. That people don't call me enough, they don't do what I like, they don't do what I want. And it plagues me. You know, my ego tells me, you know, they should do this, they're doing that, you know, it can just like haunt me. And why am I not so important to everybody as I think I should be? Then I go to being sad and self-pity and isolation. So I got the dice 12, which really annoyed me. Because I keep getting the same message over and over and over with service. I can't sit. I want to just wallow in my, you know, and so I wanted to throw again, but I didn't. It's like, so what can I do to be of service today? Thinking of others, esteemable acts builds esteem that I can start caring for myself and appreciating who I am and trusting that I'll be provided for. I went with a friend to buy a car, and I kept my mouth shut the whole time. I rode in the passenger seat. I just did such a great job, and I came home, and I just felt like so satisfied. And, you know, I constantly want a different solution, I guess. So sponsoring is truly amazing, and that it's tiring and challenging, but everything what people have told me is true. I get more out of it than, and every time people tell me stuff that I resist, then when I do it, I validate the fact that, oh, they were right. I don't know why I have such resistance. So not about, you know, if service is about, for me, not hiding out. I want to stop hiding out. That's it. Thank you.
For one or two more.
Hi, my name is Barbara. I'm a compulsive overeater from Syracuse, New York.
Hi, Barbara.
And the problem that I brought today is kind of an extreme need, apparently, for procrastination. And I found every day I start the day out, I have lots of things that really need to be done, not just ought to be done, but really need to be done. And at the end of the day, I've spent many hours playing computer games and not doing them. And when I bring this up at meetings, I often get a lot of not, like, people, like, yeah, let's talk about that. So I do feel like I'm not alone. And the kind of logical and media mess that we are living in, I have succumbed, which is embarrassing. I was a librarian in my life. It's like I should know better than this, but I have succumbed. So, anyways, I rolled 11, Spiritual Awakening, and immediately went, oh my God, can I roll again? I wanted to get something easy to write about, like discipline or, you know, courage, something like that. And so my writing, I don't want to share it because it's pretty negative, like, I do this, I do that, I'm so terrible, so terrible. But what I am getting, first of all, I was reminded of being one of the little epigrams in one of the daily readers I come back to over and over again that says the only way you can be happy is to want to do what you ought to do. There's no escape. That is true for me. This writing helped me understand on a deeper level that what I'm doing is not, I know that I am sitting and doing things that I don't want to be doing. And I don't understand why, except this helps spiritual awakening understand that the reason I'm doing it is to avoid doing that. And I have plenty of time. I'll say I didn't have time to make calls today. I have plenty of time to make calls. I just didn't do it. So there's some, this fear underneath there, this fear about what's going to happen if I really turn everything over. And so that's what I need to do. And the last thing I wrote was don't make a plan. Don't make a, you know, kind of a plan. It's like turn it over. Turn it over and let it go. So thanks. And Cara, thank you so much. That's wonderful.
Thank you to everyone. Thank you all who shared. That's all the time we have for sharing. Thank you for attending this workshop. We will close the meeting with the Serenity Prayer, but before I do that, let me just say that if you have a visceral reaction to the number that appears when you roll the dice, there's a reason. Your higher power is telling you something. The version of the Serenity Prayer, friends. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and wisdom to know the difference. Thanks, everyone.
Can stop him?
Oh, you're so brilliant.
Turn this off.
I was literally like, I'm going to cry.
You have no idea.